Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, hosted by the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers. And that means my co-host is the one and only Mark Furman.
Hi, Jeffrey. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Mark. Great to see you. I hope you're having a good summer, or you had a good summer.
It's just going by too fast, way too fast.
Well, that's always the New England story.
Right.
Thank you for hosting us as well. Our next guest, someone who came to us from Mr. Mark Z, Daniel Justo from the law firm of Richard May, and I think we're going to be talking today about entity formation and the problems around that, correct?
Yes. Thank you very much for having me.
Good. Why don't you first tell us a little bit about your practice and Richard May, and then we'll get into that whole entity formation topic.
Well, I've been practicing for 15 years, and I'm a shareholder at Rich May, and we have 30 attorneys, and we focus on business law. I'm in both the real estate and estate planning groups because they've been so, my practice has been so intertwined with both groups. And what I do is help people protect their assets. So I'm trying to think of my superhero name, and I think that it would probably be Legacy Protector. That's what I would work on now.
Dum-da-da!
My daughter calls me Wonder Woman, though, so I think that's pretty complimentary. So my mission is really to try to educate female entrepreneurs, and I've been speaking at the Plymouth Chamber and the Lexington Chambers to the women's business group. So the Plymouth one is called Women Mean Business, and they're basically lunch and learns to talk about why it's important to form entities now that you're operating a business or holding real estate.
Interesting. So what are some of the problems that people need to look at in putting together entities?
Well, I think that the main problem is people don't think they need it. So they've either just holding real estate, or they're saying, I'm just going to hold this and rent it out. And I've had I had a client come to me and say, thank God you told me you formed an LLC for me and put it in it, because I thought my liability insurance would protect me, and there's a carve out in the policy, and I'm being sued now, and now I'm limited to my equity that's in my limited liability company in that case. And limited liability companies are probably my favorite vehicle for real estate in particular, but we form LLCs, all sorts of corporations, nonprofits, and LLPs, though, as I said, limited liability companies are very flexible and easy to form online. The second problem is that folks are trying to get away with not, or maybe forming it themselves, and so they don't file their annual reports. Because the filing fee, for instance, for a limited liability company is $500 a year, and then their company gets dissolved. So they have a situation where they're unshielded for a period, or it's dissolved, and then they have to go get it reinstated with a lot of back fees, and then they have delay their closing, for instance, if they're holding real estate in it. So trying to form it themselves is problematic also.
Danielle, I do business litigation, and I can't tell you the number of cases I've had over the years where people sign agreements before they form the entity. And the impact of that is they're personally liable as a promoter. Do you see that in your practice at all? I know you try to prevent that.
Try to prevent it, but I do have people come back to me where they haven't, they either haven't done a document, they haven't done the agreement like you said. So I have a good example where they have, you know, a group of three gentlemen formed an entity, and then they didn't prepare their operating agreement. And so now they come back to me and say, well, I want to buy these other two people out, you know, and how do I do that? And how does that work? And so we try to form it for you and have a buyout provision. And that's really important because we can put in certain provisions so that to deal with the four D's, I call them, disability, death, disagreement, and divorce. So if one of the partners passes away, do you really want to be doing business with your sister-in-law or brother-in-law, say if it's your partner? And I have seven wonderful sister-in-laws. I could have my own company, but you know, that's that provision in place with a key man life insurance policy allows one partner to buy out the decedent's spouse. So
it's very important
to have
in the case that comes to my mind, a successful business person who had purchased about 30 businesses over the years, was purchasing a small business and thought that it could be done without the help of a lawyer. So signed the agreements in the name of an entity that was not yet created, and then got around to creating the LLC 6 weeks after the closing. So of course, among the documents that were signed, sort of like a leverage buyout with no payment in the name of this non-existent entity. So, you know, my client was personally liable under the note, which was never intended. So,
it's, you know, there are filing fees, but the investment in which we understand, but even if you're getting over that, you get the client over that, the investment is also in the lawyer, particularly if you have a joint venture, because you need to have those, like you said, those provisions in place and to protect liability. What I'm also seeing is a lot of women rising in the ranks to CEOs, CFOs, and taking over the family business. So we've been helping them with succession planning and also female entrepreneurs buying out their partner and being able to get Women Business Enterprise certification in Massachusetts from the SDO. And that opens the door to a lot of wonderful government contracts for the right business. Well,
what I hear you saying also is that you know, a lot of women don't necessarily start businesses, but they have the professional training, and you're showing them how to have a leg up to become entrepreneurs, which is also good for the family or the business, the previous business owner as well. So you've learned how to make it a win-win situation by creating those channels.
Yes.
Is that difficult?
I think it is. I think of a company where the client came to me because her father was putting in male presidents basically above her, so that but she was operating the business at a profit, and so eventually there's, you know, I have the empathy for her being a woman myself and the hurdles we go through as businesswomen. And I think that kind of, you know, the hand-holding and helping her convince her parents that she was able to run the business and take over has been, you know, helpful also to my practice and attracting other women to come see me for that.
I see that too in my consulting. I see that a lot of times women are, some of their opinions are sort of summarily disagreed with quicker than they are with men. And that they're not given the same credibility or the same easy path to, let's say, leadership. And so there seems to have to be an extra amount of sort of fight in a woman who wants to emerge to the top. And I don't, you know, that's just not right, you know.
Well, I'm involved with two wonderful organizations, CRU, which used to be New Wire. Mm-hmm. So we're about 600 women in Boston, and it's all commercial real estate women. So everything from brokers, architects, lawyers. And it's a great organization, so a lot of support and a lot of networking with other emerging real estate women in business, because it's basically a male-dominated industry. When I go to our development meetings, there's 8 men and me, and it's a good group. And we've been also have women speakers for inspiration too along the way. The other group that I've been involved with is the Boston Club, and I don't know if you've seen them, their specials on the news, but it's a
formidable group.
It's a scary number of women on boards of directors. So scary low number, about 17%, I believe it is, and. And the mission of the Boston Club is to get more women on boards of directors, because that diversity in on the boards help profitability. They've shown substantially with statistics. And I'm on the board of a for-profit Federal Furnace Cranberry Company and a nonprofit Habitat for Humanity in Plymouth. And it's been an amazing experience, and I want to help other women gain that experience and gain more women on boards of
directors.
You're busy. I'm a busy I'm a busy mom.
Yeah. Is it hard balancing all that? You're an entrepreneur, you're an attorney, you're joining a lot of nonprofits. Is it hard balancing everything?
Yeah, I have to kind of draw the line sometimes, but it's a role model. They've done a lot of studies to show that being a role model to your kids is important, that a lot of girls are more successful businesswomen when they grow up because their mom showed a balance between work and life.
Great. If somebody's looking for you at Richard May and wants to know more about this, not just a female entrepreneur, but any entrepreneur, because the skills are still the same, how would they find you?
We have our website, www.richmaylaw.com, and it has my email address and contact information.
Do you want to just repeat that email just in case?
Yeah, djusto@richmaylaw.com. And that's also the website, www.richmaylaw.com.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in again. And we're always interested in having you back talking about female and female entrepreneurship.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations on becoming a shareholder in Rich
May.
Thank
you so much.
All right. Yeah. Good. Again, that last voice was the voice of Mark Furman from the law firm of Tarlo, Breed, Hart & Rogers. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we will be right back after these messages.